This is The Takeaway. I'm John Huckenberry. Today, a Peruvian court hands down its verdict in the trial of former President Alberto Fujimori on charges of human rights abuses. It's a long-awaited verdict and an interesting look at a democratically elected leader of a Latin American country who is facing charges of human rights abuses. We're joined by the BBC's James Painter, Latin American analyst for the BBC's World Service from Bush House in London. James Painter, thanks for joining us.
It's a pleasure.
How important is it for the Peruvians to look back at the Fujimori era, and will this settle anything?
Well, I think certainly the human rights groups and the victims of the abuses during the period 1900 to 2000, when Alberto Fujimori was president and fighting a brutal war against the Maoist guerrilla group Sendero Luminoso, they will want to see some sort of justice for the crimes that were committed. Whether it will, in the longer term, make Peruvians more at terms with their past, I think, is a different question.
How is this different from a human rights allegation treated in, say, Chile or Argentina? It really is set apart how the Peruvians have handled this from typical kinds of, you know, truth and reconciliation forums, if I might sort of coin a phrase, from South Africa in the past.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. As I think you mentioned, it's the significance of this is it's the first time a democratically elected president has had to face charges of human rights abuses in Latin America in his own country. You may remember General Augusto Pinochet in Chile avoided trial on health grounds and was never had to face the court for human rights violations. In Argentina, at least two former military presidents involved in the dirty war against left-wing groups in the 70s were convicted of human rights abuses, but they were military presidents, and if you remember, they had lost the war with the UK over the Falklands Malvinas, and there was a very different political context. So this is really breaking new ground that a democratically elected president is facing these charges.
And the charges are responsibility for two death squad massacres, which killed 25 people, 30 years in prison if convicted, and Mr. Fujimori is already serving a six-year sentence for a separate trial on abuse of power, more of a political dispute, which was settled in 2007. Describe how people publicly viewed this trial. It was televised.
Yes, no, it was extraordinary that it was televised widely in Peru. But I think the really interesting aspect to this is that Fujimori still has significant support within Peru. Many people remember him fondly and with affection for doing two things. One was bringing inflation under control. When he came to power in 1990, it was upwards of 10,000%. Inflation, the economy was in a complete mess. And the second thing is that he and his army and police were responsible for defeating Sendero Luminoso, which at the time in the 1990s threatened at one point to take state power.
So which made him extraordinarily popular. I mean, nobody believed that Sendero could be brought down.
That's absolutely right, and it was largely due to the capture of its leader, Abimael Guzman, that Sendero was beaten, but Fujimori definitely had an important role to play. So there are, actually in Lima at the moment, there are counter-demonstrations. There are demonstrations led by his daughter, who might well stand and become the next president of Peru in 2011, in support of Fujimori, saying this trial is a political manipulation.
Well, at the very least, it may set the boundaries, the parameters for being president of a Latin American nation. Certainly it has relevance in Peru. BBC's James Painter, Latin American analyst for the BBC World Service, joining us from Bush House. Thank you so much.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.